This is Pastor Mike Parks welcoming you to Church 180's weekly radio broadcast, Turn Your Life Around. It is our prayer that through the word we are about to share, that you would be encouraged, enlightened, and empowered to get your life on track through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's get right into the message this week. I hope it's a blessing.
We're not doing this study to go out of here knowing more about God. There are a lot of people who know a lot about God. But there are not a lot of people who know God. Amen. The reason we're doing this is Daniel chapter 11, verse 32 says, "And they that know their God shall be strong and take action." And amen. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to take some action. I'm ready to make a difference. I'm ready to change. I'm going to say it again. I don't know why y'all aren't shouting. I'm ready to change this country. I'm ready to make a difference in our community. Amen. And if you're not, you might be in the wrong church. I'm just going to be honest this morning. This is where we're going. This is what we're doing. If you want to just be religious and go to church on Sunday morning and not want God to bother you the rest of the week, maybe you're in the wrong church. Amen. Because that's not who we are or what we're doing. Amen. We're going to be a people who serves God Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We're going to serve God with all of who we are. We're going to serve God with all of our heart. We're going to serve Him with all of our soul, and we're going to serve Him with all of our might. Amen. Because that's what the Bible says we should do. Amen. Matthew chapter 7, there's a verse in Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 and 23, that when I read it a few weeks ago, it concerned me. And this is what it says. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?" Now that word prophesied means proclaim the word of God. Now who proclaims the word of God? Preachers, right? Teachers, Sunday school teachers, right? Singers and worship leaders proclaim the word of God. "So have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name cast out devils?" I mean, I bet a lot of you ain't ever cast out a devil. I mean, this is talking about the top echelon of God's servants, right? "And in thy name, have we not done many wonderful works?" It's talking about miracles. It's talking about doing those things. And then what does God say to them? "And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And what I find out here in reading this verse, and the part that really concerned me as a pastor, is how many of us will stand in front of God on judgment day, and God will say, you went to church every Sunday. Yeah, you volunteered some at the Dream Center. Yeah, you did this, and yeah, you did that. I sang on the worship team, God. But His response is going to be, "I never knew you. Depart from me." I don't want anybody that I ever come in contact with to not at least be warned. You must know God. You must have a relationship with God. Coming to church every Sunday, if that's all you ever do, is religion. Religion will do you no good when you stand before God. There's an old song that says, "Give me that old time religion. I don't want nothing to do with it." I don't want nothing to do with religion. I want a relationship with God. When I stand before God, I want God to say, "I know you." I want Him to say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." That's what I want Him to say. Because if He says I'm His Son, then He knows me. Do you understand? So this morning I want to challenge you. Make sure that in all this teaching and all this preaching that we're doing every Sunday about who God is, you're getting to know God. Not just know about Him. You're actually going home and putting these things into practice. A relationship with God. Amen. So today we talked about how God was the Father 3 weeks ago, God is the Son, God is the Holy Ghost last week. This week is God is omnipotent. In Genesis, show them the scripture. When God shows up to Abraham, Genesis chapter 17, "And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect." Say the Almighty. Does the word all leave anything out? He is the Almighty. He is omnipotent. The fancy word is omnipotent. God is all powerful. Now see, I'm hearing a few amens. I'm hearing a few people say, amen, God is all powerful. You know, it starts in the book of Genesis. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was void and without form. And it says, and God said, let there be light, and boom, there was light. Do you understand? God is all powerful, that he took nothing and he created something. That's how powerful God is. And from Genesis 1 all the way through the book of Revelation, we find that God is omnipotent. God is all powerful. God is almighty. So going on down through the Bible, we find several times where God took Abraham and Sarah, and Abraham was 99 and Sarah was 90. When she finally, I think she was 90 when she finally had the baby. I think she was a little younger than that when God first showed up. Now, I don't know how many of you, anybody here older than 80? Willing to admit it? Anybody here feel like you're older than 80? No, I'm just kidding. Anybody in here 75 or older? Raise your hand. All right, 70 or older. There we go. We got a few of those. All right, now, everyone who just raised your hand, can you imagine having a baby? That'd be, woo, glory to God. I told y'all we're going to grow this church one way or another. I'm just kidding. Woo, and all the older people got up and left. All right, I'm just kidding. Now, can you imagine having a baby in your twilight years? Can you imagine? Matter of fact, when God told Abraham this to Sarah, the Bible says she heard it. She was in the tent and she heard what God, and she laughed. And God went and talked to her and said, why was you laughing? Is anything too hard for God? She found out, didn't she? Nothing too hard for God. Amen. And so God took a deadness. The Bible says the deadness of Sarah's womb and the deadness of Abraham. And God brought the two together and he made Isaac. Amen. Amen. That's God's power. God is all powerful. We go on through the Bible. He took a guy named Joseph who was in a pit, and he took him to Potiphar. And then from Potiphar's, he went to prison, and God took him out of prison, and he put him in a palace. Do you understand? We're talking about an almighty God. He was supposed to die in the pit. Do you understand? He was supposed to be, they were going to leave him for dead, but God. Do you understand? But God. Do you understand? And then he went, he was sold, and of all the people to be sold to, he was sold to Potiphar. And the Bible said he excelled, and he impressed Potiphar. Then Potiphar's wife came over. She's like, hey, good looking. And when he wouldn't be unfaithful, when he wanted to stay righteous, she accused him of something he didn't do, and he went to prison. But God is all-powerful, that no matter where Joseph found himself, God kept promoting him because he stayed righteous. God kept, because God is all-powerful. Now, see, that's the book of Genesis. In the book of Exodus, I can start again, and I can tell you about all the plagues that got brought through Moses' hand. Now, see, that wasn't Moses who brought the plagues. It was God. God who did those things. Amen. It was God Almighty. There are several stories. You know, in Exodus chapter 14, they were being chased by the army of the Egyptians. And they come up to a great sea, the Red Sea. And the Bible says that God blew on the waters and they departed. And God blew on the seabed. See, I don't know, how many of you have some mud puddles out where you're at? See, we live in the country. We know a little bit about mud puddles. Even when it could be the hottest, craziest day, but if that mud puddle's had water in it for a while, it takes that thing days to dry out. Right? Listen, this was a sea, not a mud puddle. This was the Red Sea. God not only parted the waters, but because of his omnipotence, he blew that dirt dry, and the Bible says they walked across on dry ground. And then when the Egyptians said, oh, let's go, let's follow them, they got in there and God held his breath. And the waters returned and they all were destroyed. I'm talking about an omnipotent God. Do you understand? An all-powerful God. and all through Exodus and Numbers and the book of Numbers, there was a story about a plague of snakes came into them. And everybody was getting bitten, dying, and God said, raise up a brazen serpent on a pole, and anybody who looks on that's going to be healed. See, it wasn't the pole that healed them. It was God's word that healed them, and them having faith and acting and looking at the pole. God is all powerful. Do you understand? Man, I'm glad there's like four of you who get excited about this. You should be excited. God is all powerful. It also, I was thinking in the, you know, and all throughout Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, they were complaining about not having any food out in the desert, and God gave them manna. Then they got to complaining about the manna, and God gave them birds to eat. Amen. And then they got thirsty, and God put water out of a rock. Do you understand? Two different times God did that. I'm talking about an omnipotent God. You say, Pastor Mike, we know this. Let's go on. In the book of Joshua, the Bible talks about how there was this great city. The city was so great, they raced chariots on top of the walls. That's how big the walls were, how thick the walls were. This was the greatest city in all of it, of all of that land in the Mideast. This was the one city, the most fortified city, that they were having NASCAR up on the walls. Can't you picture their chariots with their stickers? Amen. You know, you had 24 and you 48 and, you know, 88, and they was doing their thing. Everybody would cheer when 88 took the lead. Yeah, they did. Jericho wasn't much about him at that time, but they were racing the chariots, and the children of Israel looked at those great walls, and they said, okay, God, what are we going to do? He said, you're going to march around seven times, once a day for 7 days. And on the seventh day, he said, now march around seven times. And they did that. And at the end, he said, now blow the trumpets and shout. And when they did, the Bible says that wall fell. We're talking about no matter what you're facing, no matter how impregnable it seems to be, no matter how big the obstacle seems to be in your life, if you will listen to the omnipotent God, that wall will come crashing down. Do you understand? We go on through the Bible and Judges. Gideon comes with 32,000 men. It's amazing. He was hiding and all scared, and God said, you're a mighty man of valor. And you know, there's a real good story there. He was having self-image problems. Anybody in here having a little bit of self-image problems, thinking you're not good enough, thinking you're not that great? The angel looked at him and said, you're a mighty man of valor. And he was sneaking wheat. He was hiding because he was scared. And then he shows up with, God said, you go out and get some men to fight. He got 32,000 men. Now, how many of you know that dude has some gifts? I think I'm a pretty decent preacher, and I only got about 200 people here this morning. I don't have 32,000, so obviously Gideon was gifted. But God says, you know what? You did too good. You got too many people. Let's get it down. And he took it all the way down to 300 men. But God took those 300 men, and he flat demolished the enemy. Because we serve an omnipotent God. Do you understand? The Bible just keeps going on and on. In 1 Samuel 17, God takes a little boy and has him take the head of a giant. Do you understand? The physics behind that stone catching that giant's forehead in one shot is like a million to one. But how many of you know when we serve the omnipotent God, a million to one is nothing to him? And all throughout the Bible, we see, you know, then we get to the show-offs. We get to Elijah, and he does all these great miracles that he done. You know, how a woman took a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil, and they were going to eat that last cake and die. And the prophet said, bake me a cake first. And she did it. And the Bible says that her meal and her oil never ran out. And she was able to feed her family and the man of God while everybody else was starving. I'm talking about an omnipotent God. There had not rained for 3 years. There was great famine. Things were going on. But yet that family survived because they listened to the omnipotent God. Later in that story, that boy dies. Not of starvation, but he died. What's the prophet do? Prophet goes in, prays for him, the boy comes back to life. We're talking about an omnipotent God. If you have faith in God, if you know God, God will do great things for you. Elijah did several other miracles. He called fire down from heaven. He killed 450 prophets of Baal by himself. On and on, we find out all these miracles. And then he has a guy come after him named Elisha, who asked for a double portion from God. And here's the cool part. All those cool things that God did for Elijah, God just doubled it on Elisha. Why? Because he's omnipotent. See, do you understand if Elisha said, I don't want double portion, I want a quadruple portion, God could have done that. Do you understand if he said, I want 10 times, God could have done that. Do you understand if he said, I want 100 times, God could have done that. Why? Because God is almighty. There is no limit to God. Elisha asked for a double portion. He saw things like the Jordan was parted many times between Elijah and Elisha. The Jordan, a whole river, was parted. Right? We hear see things like a blind man getting healed. We see dead people coming back to life. When Elijah was dead, that he was buried in a cave. Later on, they brought a guy's body in and threw it in the cave to get rid of it. It touches Elisha's dead bones, and that man come back to life. Do you understand? We're talking about an omnipotent God. Now, I'm not even through the Old Testament yet. I'm just in the book of Kings. I'm in the book of 2 Kings, and I'm telling you, miracle after miracle, thing after thing that man faced that they thought was limitless, or the thought was limited, and God said, I am limitless. I can do all things. An axe head floated. How many of y'all ever done that? You ever float an axe head? God did through Elisha. All because the guy was coming to work and do the work, and he borrowed an axe to work, and he it broke. And he went to the prophet, and he said, Master, it was borrowed. I have to replace it, and I don't have the money to replace it. Elisha went over and said, you know what? This is nothing to God. He went over and touched the water, and up come the axe head. You understand? That's how much God cared. Little thing like a borrowed axe. And God made an axe head float. We're talking about an omnipotent God. We could keep going right on through the scriptures. You know, we talk about how God took Queen Esther and Mordecai, and God delivered them. We could talk about how that in Nehemiah, God released him, and he built a wall in 52 days. I ain't talking about no little rock wall like we see around here. I'm talking about he repaired the walls around the city of Jerusalem in 52 days. The miracle was the fact that he got those people to all get unified and do something for 52 days. That was where the miracle was. Well, I don't think that stone should go there. I think it goes over here. Oh, that just don't look right. Jeez. Praise God. That's a miracle. Just go right on through that same time frame. How about Daniel in the lion's den? God shut the lion's mouths, the Bible says. How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace? We talked about how God was with them in the fire and how the fire did not harm them. The only thing that happened was he loosed them. He took their bondages off because they were willing to believe in an omnipotent God. Amen. How about the prophet Ezekiel when he was standing out in the valley of dry bones? And God said, speak to these bones. And the Bible says they came back together, a great army. And not just bones. They wasn't a skeleton army. No, they came back to life. They were human again. Because we serve an omnipotent God. And all throughout the Old Testament, we see that happen. And then we get to the New Testament. And we see this guy who was born of a virgin, right there, omnipotence. Named Mary. I said it before, I'll say it again. Mary and God didn't do anything. God gave a word through an angel. She said, be it unto me as thou hast said. And when she believed God's word, she became pregnant with Jesus. Do you understand? God took something that was impossible and did the greatest thing. He gave the greatest gift this earth has ever seen. Because somebody believed in an omnipotent God. Be it unto me as thy word is said, as you have spoken. So then you have Jesus. And you have all the miracles Jesus did. Water into wine. Four people raised from the dead, including himself. Now see, listen, it's one thing. It's one thing to raise people from the dead when you're alive. Because I've read of other people doing that through the power of God. But he raised himself from the dead. How many of you, are you going to talk about a miracle? He raised himself from the dead. That blows my mind. Amen, because we serve an omnipotent God. You know, he fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You know, we can't even feed our family with $200 from Kroger. At least that's how it is at my house. I got 3 boys, 2 of which are teenagers, and the youngest one eats like one. You spend $200 a week at Kroger, get a whole basket full of stuff, and it takes forever to feed them. 5 loaves and 2 fish, Jesus fed 5,000 men plus women and children. Because we serve an omnipotent God, because he believed in his Father, because he had faith. And Jesus continued his Father's Old Testament legacy, and he continued to do miracle after miracle. He walked on water. He calmed a storm. He did all of these awesome, awesome things. He died. He rose again. He ascended into heaven. He empowered the people who were left with the Holy Spirit. They were able to begin to see miracles then. They were able to begin to do great. Why? Because they believed the word of Jesus. He said, I'm going to send you another comforter, and you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. They believed. Now, see, y'all ain't shouting them as much now as you are now that I put the ball in your court. See, they believed. That's why they were able to do miracles. They believed that God was omnipotent. See, here's where I'm at this morning. Most of you, as I was going through that, amen, God can do it. Amen. But you think God can't do it for you. It's an amazing thing. I could ask you and ask you and ask you, do you believe the Bible's real? Absolutely. Then why do you think? See, we treat God like Superman. Now listen, we treat God like Superman. He has all this power, and we know it. We know it. We know God has all this power, Sister Janice. But for some reason, we think our problems are his kryptonite. I'm going to let that settle in. For whatever reason, if Justin knows I'm having a problem, he'll be like, oh, you just need to pray and believe. And he's right. That's exactly what I need to do. And he'll be like, you know, God can deliver you. God can do all this awesome stuff, but let it be his problem. What's he do? Pastor Mike, you got to help me. I'm like, what did you just tell me when I had my problem? You said God could do it. Yeah, I know God could do it. Then why don't you believe he can do it for you? See, I got good gospel news. You ain't kryptonite. I'll let that settle into your spirit. You don't have anything that when you come to God with it, God don't go, oh my me. What am I going to do? See, God, when he texts his OMM, some of you will get that. God texts OMM. Oh my me. What am I going to do? Justin, that problem is just too big for me. No. Sarah laughed at God and said, how on earth is he going to take this dead old woman's body and we're going to have a baby? And God said, is anything too hard for me? The answer is no. There is nothing impossible with God. See, we believe God's omnipotent. We believe God's all-powerful. We say we believe it, but when it comes to our issues, we think we're kryptonite. You don't want to know what the problem is? It's because you're still trying to be God of your life instead of letting him be God. There's a verse in the Bible that says, let God be true and every man a liar. That includes you. Get rid of your stinking thinking. Time to get a checkup from the neck up. You need to realize God is all-powerful in your problems just the same as he's all-powerful in everybody else's problems. God is omnipotent. We serve the... Now look, and back in Genesis, show the Genesis 17 verse again, the first one, the scripture. Look, it says, I am the Almighty God. He didn't say, I am Almighty God. He said, I am thee. There isn't no one else. There's no one else Almighty. I am thee, Almighty God. Do you understand? There is no other. There is no higher. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter how hard it is. You have a God who is a Father who loves you. And he ain't affected by your little problems that you think's kryptonite. They don't stop God. Some of us think our problems are just so big to God. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms several times to magnify the Lord. One of the reasons we believe God's omnipotent, but we don't magnify him. In other words, we magnify our problem, and our problem appears bigger because we're looking at it through the magnifying glass. But what we should do is take the magnifying glass off of the problem and put it on our God and magnify the Lord and worship the Lord and praise the Lord and give him glory and give him honor and give him praise, because not only is he worthy, he's the Almighty God. He is the one with the answer. He is the one who can actually do something about your problem. Do you understand? He's the one who can change it. He's the one who can fix it. He's the one who can mend it. He's the one who can lift you up when you're down. He's the one who can heal you. He's the one who can deliver you if you're bound by an addiction. He is the one, the Almighty, Omnipotent God. And we need to magnify the Lord and stop magnifying our problems. Praise God. God is omnipotent. He's almighty. He is the almighty God. To know him, Joey, to know him. And Paul said in Philippians 3, and the power. To know him and the power of his resurrection. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. You understand? You say, well, Pastor Mike, how do we get it to work? The same way Mary did. You take God's word and you believe it. And you begin to quote it out loud in your life. You begin to speak it. She said, be it unto me as thou hast said. I receive the word of the Lord. And you say, well, Pastor Mike, I just wish God would say something about my problem. He has. He has. And see, and here's the cool part, because remember, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and the three are one. See, if God is an omnipotent God, then the Word is omnipotent. When we take it, and we believe it, and we begin to quote it in our lives, this is how we get free. This is the same way Mary did. Be it unto me. See, Joel Osteen, I know a lot of people don't like him, but man, he took something from his daddy that his daddy used to say every week. And every week before they start preaching, they hold up their Bible and they say, this is my Bible. Say it. I can have what it says I can have. I can be who it says I can be. I can do what it says I can do. It says I am healed. It says I am free. It says I am delivered. And I'm going to live like that. Because his word says I can. And I believe it.
I pray this week's message has touched your heart. If you have need of prayer or would like more information, you can call Church 180 at 937-386-0333. Visit our website at www.church180.org or check out our Facebook page. Our church is non-denominational with a welcoming environment. Blue jeans are welcome, and so are you. Church 180 is located at 2556 Moores Road in Seaman, Ohio, right across from North Adams High School. We would love to have you come be part of our family. The services are Sundays at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. This is Pastor Mike Parks praying you have a blessed week, and we'll see you next Sunday right here on C103.